Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is in the full-time blessing business. He loves us so much. He loves us deeply. And learning His ways is in our best interest. It's a good thing to learn the ways of God. He loves us so much. And He cares about every part of our life. And He already, in real time, knows what to do to help you out. And that's why we have to believe Him and take Him at His word. In the previous broadcast, the Lord had me saying how He's for us. He wants to help us do the right thing for our own benefit. It behooves us to follow God. He knows this. And like we said in the last broadcast, the laws of sowing and reaping are already there. God honors them Himself. God is holy. And He designed everything in His kingdom to be holy. And in order to be a part of His kingdom, we have to be holy. We have to be pure in our thoughts. Pure. Pure in our motives. Pure in our actions. Now, you can't be made to be pure. You have to want it. Now, this is the thing. The enemy can't stop you from desiring what's right, and he can't stop you from doing what's right, and he can't stop you from choosing what's best for you. All he can do is slander the things that are true and deceive you into believing that you're not going to be happy without evil. And his deception is his weapon. It has no foundation. It's not true. And it's going to always lead you to sorrow 100% of the time. All of the ways of darkness is that way. If you will not let it go, it will operate in you in opposition to the healing process of God. Often on these broadcasts, I explain that when a man gets saved, a healing process begins in him. It starts in seed form and it continues. And it grows and develops. It gets into his, it's in his heart. He has a brand new heart. When the word grows in his heart, helps him become mature. It's in his thought process. It gets in his, it even affects the way he desire things to be. Gets in his action, in his speech, the way he lives. It even helps him govern his advice, the way he give advice. And on the last broadcast, we talked about when we receive the parts of the Word of God, any part of it, or all of God's Word, it gets into our countenance, and even the way we walk, the way we strut, the way we move. All of that is in the healing process, affects everything positively. Now, the other flip side of that, the world does the opposite. It takes you down a dangerous path in the name of what feels good. And when you don't know God's ways, the enemy will say you're better off. If you're in the world, you get to do what you want to. You don't have to consider what's right or what's wrong. That's why evolution, as stupid as it is popular, because people want to believe that they can choose without responsibility to God. You know, I don't believe anybody on the planet or ever believed in evolution. It's so stupid. But people believe it by deception, but not from, not as truth. It's just a myth to get them to ease their conscience against God. They don't want to say, it's not popular to say, well, I don't want to follow God. I just believe that there is no God. You can't do that because all the evidence points to him. And there's something called love. All these things were created according to his love. And all the evil things that exist, like thorns and mosquitoes and things that aggravate you, that's a representative of sin. The same vines that bear thorns in its original condition didn't have thorns. And mosquitoes didn't eat animals. All animals ate berries and fruit, things that grow from plants. They didn't eat each other. That came after Adam's sin. In fact, it came after the days of Noah, to be technical. All animals ate vegetables. All animals were vegetarians until the days of Noah. The lions were not ferocious until the days of Noah. See, sin affects everything. It changes things from what they were to what they should be. I mean, sin affects things from this original condition to a much, much worse condition, a dying way. But in the original condition, things are the way it should be, the way God designed it. Now, when Jesus rules the earth, the lion will lay down with the lamb. They'll play together. The lion won't be his dinner or his breakfast or his lunch. Little children will play over the hole of an asp or an adder and not be in danger. Nothing but love will exist. Everything of God will be in its original condition. It won't be fierce anymore. It won't be harmful anymore. You know, you can rouse the alligators and not get hurt. You can swim in the same water with the moccasins, not get bitten. But that's a different day, because Jesus would be the head of the earth. And all of Satan's, all the world system would be gone. And after the white throne judgment, there will never be sin on earth again, or anywhere else in God's kingdom. The whole kingdom of God will be pure, like he is. See, this planet here, man, has fallen. This is a fallen world. You don't know what it's like to live in a world that has never failed from the original creation of God. It's totally different. But see, there's gonna be no more sin, no more strife, no more evil works that follow strife. Everything's gonna be right. And that's why it's so important for us to forgive and love people like God loves us. That's why it's so important to be pure, to be holy. Now, I asked the Lord a definition of holiness, and he said it's supreme purity. In other words, purity with no darkness. And that's how I want to think. I want God's ways in my mind and none of Satan's ways in my mind or in my heart. I want my heart to be pure towards God, and I want my mind to be renewed so I can think like him. So I can think the pure and better thoughts, to think honorably towards people, to help people, to be a blessing to people, and not a curse. And not look at people with an evil eye, a vengeful eye, an angry eye, a malicious eye, a lustful eye, a hateful eye. I don't want that in my life. I want to be like Jesus. I want to do what God does. And I want to have his knowledge and wisdom so that I can. I already have the desire. And if something becomes a problem, I want to get it fixed. I believe in killing my problems. This is important because When you go in the Lord's presence and you endeavor to live like him, that becomes a desire in you greater and greater. And I found out that the Lord can help you do the things of God. He's helping you so spiritual wealth can be on your life and no spiritual debt. He taught me once about about spiritual wealth and spiritual debt. And he taught me that 3 days straight about spiritual wealth and spiritual debt and how it works. He was training me on how things operate. Now, the Lord don't control our choice. We do. We control what we sow, which controls what we reap. Now, the Lord, he helps us out. He wants to give us blessings instead of curses. So, he manages the reaping of man's sowing to help us out. And I'm going to explain that. When you, David decided, the enemy came against David and tempted him to number the people. And Joab, you can study it for yourself. And I think it's in 1 Chronicles around chapter 24. I could be wrong with that, but when David wanted to count to number the people, Joab, the captain of his guard, tried to get him not to do it. He said, "The Lord bless, give you many more people and thousands times more. Only don't do this evil thing." And David did it anyway. Now, sometimes knowing how many people you have under your command can change your focus. If you ever stop counting on the Lord and regarding him, and you start looking what you can do in your own strength, that can change your focus if you're not strong. And if that happens, if your focus changes, your destiny changes with it, because you start doing things in your own strength. And you feel like you don't need God. Now you can do it yourself. You can do what you want to do. It's kind of like a man that has a lot of money in the bank. Before he has the money in the bank, he believes God for every little thing. But after he gets it, he can decide how he wants to do with his money. Before he has the money, he think about how many people he'll bless and what he'll do and how he wouldn't lavish himself if he had all this money and never had it before. Don't know what it's like to abound. Only God can train you how to properly abound. And some people think they know how to. I know for a fact I don't know how to abound like I want to. I require the Holy Spirit to help me out so that I won't make a fool of myself. Now, I've had good success knowing how to be abased, and I'm learning how to abound. And I believe, I know I can do all things through Christ. But in order for me to abound personally, I'm seeking the Lord about how to do it properly. I'm learning now, in real time, how to manage money the way God would have me to manage it. Because I know that there are rich people, very wealthy people, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know that if I was very wealthy and had money at my command, I would go to the Lord and ask him what to do. Now that sounds easy and proper and wonderful. But when it happens, will you still do that? Well, I think I'll buy a car, and then I'll ask, no, let's just give this to the Lord. Let's see what the Lord, I want to see what he'll say. So as he blessed me, that's precisely what I want to find out what to do. I consciously know not to trust money. I consciously know to trust God. So now all I have to do is do it. And it'll work. Now God loves us. But when people become powerful, when they have money, when they have people under their command, when they're a king, and they look at the crowd, you know, fear looks to man. And I stated in the previous broadcast that if any problem you have, don't look at the problem, look at the Lord. Now I'm going to say it this way. If you have money in the bank and a lot of it, a good retirement, and you have diversified, you have money assets in different accounts, and you have several savings, you have great insurance policies, and you have a portfolio. And some people have hundreds of thousands of dollars in their portfolio where they have invested, and they can cash them in when they want to. Now, don't look at the things you own, the things that you have. You can do something wonderful today. You can buy yourself a brand new house. You can buy a new car at your will. You can even buy an airplane. Whatever it is you desire to do, you can take a trip in any month of the season. Any month in the year, you can go on a nice vacation and stay gone a month because you have assets. But don't look at those possessions. Don't look at your powerful arm. Don't look at your thriving career. Always, my friend, look at him. If the ministry is going good, people are getting saved. Every week people are getting healed and blessed. Don't look at the success. Don't look at the people. Look at him. Stay focused on the Lord. And only then can you receive the knowledge to do even greater things. Sometimes our best efforts and the things that just flat out amaze man is just a scratch of the surface compared to what God would do for us if we would only yield to him and pay attention. We have to choose to be a student to the Holy Ghost. We have to be yielded to him in order to learn the most from him. We have to be mature enough to cooperate. A lot of preachers don't like to use the word mature because it divides people from immaturity to mature. It makes people see their inadequacy, but that's all right. If you walk the mature road with the Lord, if you can be honest with him, and when he's honest, he's going to always be honest with you. But if you can stay hungry and thirsty after him, if you can seek first the kingdom of God without restraint, then you're going to learn things that you couldn't learn any other way. And I know this. I've experienced it. You have to let go of what you see. You have to see him. And sometimes you have to learn to see him. Because sometimes when your success is so huge in your eyes, And God is not as huge as your success, that's what you're going to trust first. Whatever you're looking at, whether it's good, whether it's bad, even if it's evil, whatever you're looking at, if it looks bigger to you in your eyes, that's what you'll trust. This is why people trust people who are doing them wrong. They feel like in their heart that they can't get around this problem. And they're making the people too big. There are people going to court. They made the judge and the lawyers and the jury too big. And they're more afraid of them than they are of God. And then they try to save themselves and end up going to jail. Because fear is a driver. If you get in fear, you're going to create what you fear. You have to look at the Lord or you will surrender to a bad demise. I've seen it too many times, and on a small scale experienced it. I learned a long time ago, fear nothing. The Lord even gave me a writing a long time ago saying, fear not. And he gave me wisdom against it, so I started paying attention. And whenever people get in fear, they create what they fear. The more they fear it, the more they create it. Sometimes people mildly fear things and they dance around things. They may not bring it to fruition, but there's an unrest with them, because anytime you're in fear, you're also in unrest. God said, drive out all the Canaanites out of the land. Now, the Canaanites represent the evil things of Satan. Fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, strife. Drive it out. You don't have to live with that. Unforgiveness. I watched a video today of a man who died, a pastor who died. And he was told that he would have to stay in hell because he wouldn't forgive his wife. His wife made him mad and he didn't forgive her. In the ambulance, he asked the Lord to forgive him of all his sins. But he didn't get out of strife with his wife. Now, she believed him. She believed the Lord to bring him back. And he ended up living. But he told a story. It's on YouTube. And this was the pastor in Africa. And that was another pastor in hell because he stole the money from the church. And he saw heaven first, and he saw hell, and he was told by the angel that he would have had to stay. And he got it when he came back. He got things right. Now he's on his way to heaven, but he's still alive. This was back in 2001 when this happened. Now, all these things are happening around us, and you have to take notice to what's going on, so you can enter out of danger. You can live according to the principles of God's word and do all to stand. God is for us, not against us. But he can't bend his rules, and he's not going to bend his rules for you or me. We're just going to have to do what he said do. We're going to have to live according to the knowledge of God. Jesus provided salvation, and we're going to have to walk in newness of life. We are required to forgive because we've been forgiven of so much. God forgave us of all our sins. Now we got to forgive all those who did us wrong. All of them. I even said by faith and also by reality that, you know, faith is reality, but I meant it. That's what I'm saying. There's not a breathing person that I won't forgive. I forgive everybody who ever did me wrong. And I meant it. I did that when I first got saved, and I do it whenever if somebody upset me, I forgive them. Forgiveness is key. You know, we need to live according to the character of God. Everything the Lord has to say is very important. And it's a blessing. The Lord does things to be a blessing. And he wants to be a blessing to you and me. And not only does he bless people who obey his word, he governs by his word. These are the rules, the word of God that he's given us to live by, are the rules that he lives by. We're made in his image, and we, man and God alike, operate according to the very same rules. That's why Satan came to tempt Jesus to get him out of the realm of God and into the realm of the world. But Jesus loved God more than the easy ways of the world. And he won a great victory. Now, that being said and understood, we must go on. God loves us, and we need to forgive like he does. Now look at what Jesus said. He said in Matthew chapter 6. He said in the Lord's Prayer. He said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now watch this part. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, it's your kingdom, and the power, it's your power, and the glory. All of this is your glory forever. Amen. Then he said in verse 14, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is a very bold and accurate and precise statement that Jesus made. He didn't, and that's not the only time he made it. And he meant it. Now, the YouTube video I saw where the African pastor went to, he died. And the Lord showed him heaven, and he also showed him hell. And the angel said, this is where you would be if you died right now. And then he told him why. He said, in the ambulance, you asked the Lord to forgive you of all your sins, but you were in strife with your wife. And you didn't forgive your wife, and neither will God forgive you of your sins. We've all done things, and we don't want God to remember any sin that we've done. And it only takes one to keep us out of heaven. But the good thing is Jesus paid for our sins. But we have to walk in forgiveness. You don't want to nullify all the wonderful blessings that God has given you because you won't forgive. Is it important? Yes, it's very important. Sometimes people, see, when God gives somebody a vision, a dream to share, if it came from God, he wants us to, we have to believe it. And most of the time, the things of God seems very far-fetched. And some people decide, well, I'm not going to believe that because that's not something I'm used to. If God originated it, it's of God. If it matched the scriptures, it's worth looking into. And everything he said was scripturally accurate. So I judge him to be accurate. I believe what he said. I believe it. And now some people, some preachers won't believe it. That's them. This is me. I believe it. And I believe things scripturally. If it's scripturally based, I can believe it. And you have to judge prophecy. That's your responsibility. If you have questions, go ask God. If you don't believe, if you see something that somebody said, go ask God about it. And he can talk to you about it. And he can show you in a way where you can understand it. And, lately, I've been, the Lord had me talking about forgiveness lately. And when I see things like that, it makes me, a lot of people are not talking about things like that. And people are dying. Now, I know that I've heard of people that had cancer and they had trouble getting healed. And the Lord would not show them that they need to forgive somebody. Or they're going to die. That happened to a friend of mine. He had to forgive his ex-wife. Some people think that it's all right to badger your ex-spouse or your ex-girlfriend if you had a child. And the courts are just full of people in strife over child support. People are trying to do all kind of dastardly things because they won't give up the strife. They're in strife and they take people to court. I've heard all the horror, so many horror stories. But that's another situation. It's important for us to love everybody and forgive people that do you wrong. Now in Matthew chapter 18 verse 27, Jesus taught a parable. We'll close with this, and as God guides us, we're going to talk about the power of forgiveness some more. Now this parable, he said, this is when Jesus taught about forgiveness. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Verse 22, and this is Matthew chapter 18, verse 22 says, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents, a lot of money. 25, verse 25. But forasmuch as he had not to pay him, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he said, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt because you desired me to do it.